Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat, beat.
We get beat, beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in. Welcome to Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you. Well, no more basketball, but plenty of time to talk about it. We'll get into the NBA Finals, Golden State claiming a championship. Some summertime Husker topics we'll get into, courtesy of the Hail Varsity mailbag. And we'll run down ESPN's Mitch Sherman. Some football thoughts, some CWS thoughts from Mr. Mitch. Mike Babcock with us in Hour 2. We'll talk to Babbers about some Nebraska football topics. And we will try and offer a sane debate on different eras in the NBA. TJ and Greg, Jordan's the Antichrist. Jordan, listen, that's the vibe I got.
Whoa.
I'm putting words in your mouth.
Apparently. I mean, he's one or two.
Not or. There's no or to this.
Or according to Greg, he's three.
Well, Greg's a smart dude, but just misguided on that. He's going to call in or show up and punch me. But okay, so we'll get into all of that. You're welcome to spend some time with us today on Hail Varsity Radio and join us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore heading. You can always tap the line, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, tapping the line with Shillingbridge, Cork, and Tap House. Giveaways today. We have Salt Dog tickets.
VIP.
And if you turn your nose up at the, you just get in for free. We've upped the ante to VIP. That is phenomenal seating. I believe it's for what game?
Friday.
Go to the ballpark on Friday because it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So we will give you a chance at four VIP tickets to the Salt Dogs. We will give you a chance to qualify for the Smokin' Hot Dad Smoker. Father's Day this weekend. That's important. And if you are too cheap to hook up your father, good luck and God bless winning the Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker with ESPN and Hail Varsity. 51 square inch cooking surface, 5.5 quart water pan, sliding door that's accessible for that meat, and yes, built-in temperature gauge valued at just shy of $550. Leon's Gourmet Grocer, $250 gift card there. Leon's is awesome. They need to throw their tight end more back in the late 80s, but I'm not going to complain. Gift baskets from Leon's include spices, rubs, wood chips, wood planks, and a steak certificate. Yes, Leon's loves you. Good luck to the Smoking Hot Dad winner this Friday, but qualify this hour and next hour. Nate has been on hold. Nate is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Nate, go ahead. How are you?
Chris, my guy, I am living the dream.
Thank you, Will.
So I will give you the 20-second abridged version. If you want me to elaborate, I will do so. The other day, to solve this Jordan-era debate, I actually went through and I said, you know what, I'm going to pick a random year that Jordan and the Bulls were good and compare them and the NBA to this year and the teams that LeBron and the Warriors went up against, right? And I counted Seattle as Oklahoma City for fairness. I left out New Orleans because they didn't exist. I mean, I brought this down with some pretty good statistical controls. And I took the three best players from the Spurs of today and the three best players of the Spurs of 96-97. Who was a better team? Go. You know, and I did that on the whole list comparing today versus 96-97 because it happened to be 20 years ago. It was nice and even, right?
Mm-hmm.
In an unbiased, non-Kool-Aid drinking fashion, 23 of the teams of the 96-97 season were better than their counterparts of today. Two, one of which was the Warriors, was better today than they were then. Mm-hmm. And there were two that were pushed, like the Raptors, and I want to say the Spurs were the other push team. So yes, Jordan, the stats for that year, Jordan was like 29-4-5. And LeBron was like 26, 8.3 and 8.4. Okay, so yes, LeBron, because of those four extra boards and four extra assists, were a little better than Jordan's two extra points. At the end of the day, on paper, it looks like LeBron might have been a little better. But when you start considering that literally 80% of the NBA was better off then than they are today, that means Jordan's 26 or 29 then would be like 45 a game now. I mean, being serious, right? The A-level players are probably equivalent. I will concede that, okay? But when you get down to the B-level, 96, 97 had more and better B-level players. 96 had way the hell more and better C-level players. Steph Curry in 96, 97 was Dan Majerle. I mean, really, a little more slashing. I'm probably being too harsh. He was maybe.
I'm a Thunder Ray Dan Allen guy, but don't insult Curry like that again.
I'm probably going too far with it, but I mean, for era, that kind of
what? No Detlef Love here. Come on.
No. Okay.
Rick Smits didn't want any of that.
I mean, yeah, and those guys were on the Pacers list that I compared to. But I mean, how can we qualify and quantify Jordan as, or LeBron as the best player ever, or in that discussion, or the Warriors as a dynastic great team of all time, when the league they're playing in is so watered down, it's barely the same.
Here's what I'll say, Nathan. Thank you so much, brother.
Yeah,
appreciate the stats. Thank you for listening. We're going to just throw punches on this now. We'll get into Nebraska football in a minute. Here's what I don't think is true. I don't think that the Bulls and the Jordan era in the first three-peat get enough credit for who they beat and who they had to go through. They had to finally eventually get over the Celtics, or that run of Boston with Bird, with the Chief, with McHale. They eventually got old and were supplanted by Detroit. Cleveland was very good with Price and Doherty, Nance. I mean, they were the one seed. Elo still rocks himself to sleep thinking of MJ. But the Cleveland team was very, very good. They were the one or two seed out of the East. Cleveland became dominant. And then the Bad Boys, the Pistons, they were loaded. The Pistons were an eyelash from three straight titles. They eventually knocked off the Lakers. They lost to the Lakers at the end of their run, only for them to reemerge and then get beat by Jordan and the Bulls. So the three-peat Bulls of 90 through 93 were incredible, and it was a bulletproof East. Because in the second round, you were playing a Pat Ewing that was a top five MVP candidate, or you were playing Charles Barkley when he was in Philly, or you were getting by Cleveland, or you were getting by Boston.
Or Shaq and Penny.
But Shaq and Penny didn't come along until Jordan's, I was going to say suspension, Jordan's baseball break.
Yeah, okay? They beat him the one year he came back.
That was 4-2 and Orlando beat him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He got revenge the next year.
He did. And the second three-peat Bulls were awesome. They were better because you traded Grant for Rodman. And I love me some Horace Grant. But you also had Kerr over Craig Hodges. And then you had Ron Harper over Paxson. And I love John Paxson, okay? But I just don't think the East was as good. And I don't think you had much out of the West. You had an aging Utah. You had a really good Seattle group with Payton and Kemp and those guys. That was about it. Chicago can't really defend themselves in the second three-peat because they were a year early for Robinson and Duncan. I would love to see them play the Spurs because regular season, they couldn't beat Hakeem and they couldn't beat San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And we never got to see them because they couldn't get past either Seattle or they couldn't get past Utah. They couldn't get there to meet Chicago. So LeBron, bigger, faster, stronger, incredible. Yeah, he's a forward. Jordan's a guard. And this is chasing your tail because of how different the eras were officiated. It's physical now. It was blood sport 25 years ago. That's what I watched on WGN, and that's what I believe when I talked to Eric Strickland, who played and kind of crossed over both eras. I'll believe his word.
Yeah, although watching last night, you're just like, man, what constitutes an illegal screen anymore? Like, these guys are just standing out here like this, and it's just...
They're
I've seen some hand-checking going on, but I agree. It was more physical in the 90s for sure, and it's just hard to compare eras. But, like, when you look at these stats, compare these both guys... LeBron's got him here in shooting percentage, three-point percentage, but MJ's got him in free throw points.
Your detraction here is...
Go either way.
Well, you had Pippen for Jordan. Who's LeBron have? Well, Kyrie. Okay, you both...
Or he had D-Wade, too.
Right, so you had wingman.
Mm-hmm.
And you just couldn't do it on yourself, and it took Phil Jackson to come in, drop your average by about 5 points a game, and... They played him at kind of a point shooting guard. Mm-hmm, they played him at point.
Trust
they
the teammates a little more, yep.
And it took someone to do that. That's been Golden State's attitude from day one because of Kerr, and Kerr's a Phil Jackson guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of all goes back.
And when he was the GM of Phoenix, he obviously took some of that Mike D'Antoni offense.
He did that, but he also got popped out of there because they traded for Shaq post his prime, and that blew everything up. They went from tempo and speed to, let's slow it down and throw it into the post, and that was the end of that style of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really have Indiana that uses the post, and that's about it now. Everyone else has a stretch. Memphis, too. But Randolph is a stretch guy. I mean, you get him on the block, but he has the good three-point range.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, the NBA now, you have a couple of really good teams. And then you have San Antonio, you have Golden State, you have Cleveland. But I just don't like anyone else out of the East.
No.
I don't. And I think Boston's better, but they're still a far cry from Cleveland.
Yeah, showed.
And the West is loaded.
The West is
absolutely loaded. And if you have a healthy Kyrie, I mean, those are your three teams. And the team that gets out of the West survives it because it's so loaded with Golden State. It's really important to try and get by San Antonio because they're really good. The Clippers have their head up there, you know what, half the time. But if they ever got it figured out, they're good. And Houston was tremendous for damn near 60 wins this year. And then they just faded and folded.
Mm-hmm.
So you get out of the West, that's an accomplishment in itself. And I think Golden State is incredible. We'll dive into, you know, the best of the era. And listen. The thing that is unique, and maybe you don't remember or you don't know about the Showtime Lakers in the 80s, and the 30 for 30s are starting up this week. Is it tonight?
Okay. Yep, tonight and Wednesday.
The best of enemies. Watch that if you're 20 or younger or 30 or younger, and just kind of marvel at it and appreciate it because you had a team that had Kareem, who was insanely talented, but probably 10 years past being elite. Or 5 years past being elite, mm-hmm. but they still ran with tempo. I mean, they still did the break. They were still scoring 120 a night with tempo, with a post presence, and it was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I mean, that's what you have now is what you had then. You had some teams kind of on the rise between Detroit and Chicago, Cleveland, New York, and then Utah was kind of creeping up, and Seattle was kind of creeping up, and San Antonio was few years away yet because they were just bad. But you had two teams, and it was kind of reversed. You had a team like Boston survive the East to get a crack at the Lakers in the West. Right now you have San Antonio or Golden State, realistically, and OKC before KD left as kind of a three-headed monster who's coming out of there, and then you have Cleveland. What's old is new again with really two or three teams that have a serious shot at winning it. And that's how it was in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of spread out in the 90s. And then at post-Jordan, you know, you had the Nets a couple of times and you just kind of roll your eyes at it. You had San Antonio that once they got into those boxing matches with the Miami teams was good. So, I mean, the NBA's cyclically, it's kind of back.
Yeah.
And you're enjoying what you're watching.
It's never really been about parity. It's really been about dominant teams in the NBA. And last night's rating was a 16.0, the best ever for ESPN ABC non-game 7 in their playoff history last night. So obviously people love watching these super teams, but I think back in like...
People hate waiting for the super teams to meet.
Perhaps, although the whole entire playoffs were actually up too as well. I think back in 2012, like half the championships were between the Celtics and the Lakers. So, I mean, there just wasn't much parity. And, like, the two outliers you would say in the last 20 years would be the 04 Pistons and maybe the 2011 Mavs. Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of not part of a dynasty. Yeah. So,
and then San Antonio's had a 20-year run where they have five titles.
Yeah.
They just couldn't go back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I loved, what was it, 3 years ago when Miami and San Antonio hooked up. That was a blast.
And then Van Gundy talking how he thinks his Golden State team could be in the finals for 8 to 10 years consistently.
Well, they've got...
I mean, I could see it for 5 to 6.
They've got another three in them.
I mean, that's Bill Russell. UCLA stuff.
Can they three-peat, first of all? They better work on winning two in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But can they be the next team to challenge a three-peat?
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the early 2000 Lakers... And I know that's you and Greg's kind of squad. I mean, what you had with Kobe and Shaq?
Really good.
They were tremendous.
Shakobi.
And who were they beating? Who were they beating out of the East? I mean, they had to get by the Kings with Sheed. Was Sheed on that team?
Sheed was never a king.
Sorry.
You mean Portland?
Yeah, the Portland team.
The Portland team was
fun.
With Pippen, yeah.
They were fun.
Mm-hmm.
They were misguided, but they were a ton of fun.
The Kings was like
Weber
Bibby,
and
yeah.
Vanilla Thunder and
Divac,
Bibby.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Vlade. I mean, I'll give credit to those Lakers teams getting by both of those
because
they were able to keep them down and then the window closed.
Yeah.
So there's your history of the NBA. And good luck trying to compare eras. We'll get to some football with Mitch Sherman. It's Hail Varsity Radio. It's Hail Varsity Magazine. HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Jay Bird will be in this week. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt, and you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Kind of comparing eras to start things off in the NBA. Jordan or LeBron guy or KD guy. It's okay. There's a lot of wrong opinions, but you can believe what you want to believe. We welcome in with ESPN.com and magazine Mitch Sherman to talk some college football and some CWS. Mitch, how are we doing?
I am doing well. Chris, how are you? It's a great time of year.
It is, man. We're just kind of waiting for football kickoff under 100 days, which is a good thing. And we had the Stoops news last week, and that was kind of mildly surprising or extremely surprising, but OU's...
I'd take out the mildly from that, but...
mildly surprising that...
Characterize it as you wish. I was pretty stunned on Wednesday afternoon when the news started to break. Yeah, it was not what I expected my June 7th to turn out to be. Not mine, Bob Stoops, whatever, college football.
Uh-huh. No, let me ask you this. Do you think 18-year-olds know more about the OU style of offense or just the OU kind of brand / history that OU's been as good as it gets in some years on the college football field? What do you think OU's known for? Because Riley's super smart. He's from the Air Raid tree, and he's popular. I mean, it's a lot of fun to go play for him.
Well, the Air Raid offense has been back in Norman for just two seasons.
Yep.
And Oklahoma threw the ball around a lot, don't get me wrong, throughout the Bob Stoops era, from the beginning with the Air Raid and Mike Leach in 1999. And they had Josh Heupel, who's been around the program on and off throughout the Stoops era and is back there now. Sam Bradford, Jason White, Landry Jones, plenty of quarterbacks who have thrown the ball a lot. And I think if you say, what is the Oklahoma offense? Well, it's an offense that is prolific through the air. And that's not the Oklahoma offense that I grew up knowing. I guess it is. It certainly is the offense that high school prospects or college age football players grew up knowing. Bob Stoops had been there 18 years and lo and behold, that's about how old you are when you're recruited to play college football. The Oklahoma offense to me is many different things. And, it's still fresh in my mind, the triple option and everything that Barry Switzer did with that offense. And I assume it is also for parents of prospects and coaches of prospects. So I don't think it's so much about identifying Oklahoma with a certain brand of offensive football. It's more about the tradition of the program, similar to Nebraska. Oklahoma has had more success over the last 15 years than Nebraska has, no doubt about it. But the tradition and history of the program is similar to from Norman to Lincoln.
Well, you look at Oklahoma, and they've been able to win with both styles. Option football, great defense, wishbone, and now fast forward 20, 25 years with a throwing and also a dominant run game and also good enough defense to win multiple Big 12 championships in a score-fest type league. The reason I ask you about style, Mitch, is it's one of our mailbag questions, and we've got a new identity for Nebraska fan. There's been run the ball guy. There's been throw the football guy. And now just win the game guy has emerged. And let me ask you, your time around Nebraska fans, do you think as you head into 17, Nebraska fans care how it's made, how the win happens? Do you think there's some holding on to power football? I believe, honestly, you're going to win Big Ten football by being extremely physical and running on third and two. You can throw as many times as you want, but you still better be able to get third and two on a windy day. Do you think style matters? Does it matter to you?
I think it matters. I think if you win above all else, that's going to be the most important thing. If you win with defense, like, you know, Oklahoma's lone national championship under Bob Stoops, it was a defense dominated team. You guys like Rocky Kalmus and Roy Williams,
Derek Strait, you know, they were great.
Yeah. Right. Oklahoma won the national championship game 13-2 in 2000. So the greatest success in the Bob Stoops era, some of the greatest success was done with defense. And then as the Big 12 evolved, Oklahoma evolved and clearly became a more potent offensive team. And, you know, in a roundabout way to answer your question, if you can produce results like Stoops did at Oklahoma, then I think your fan base is going to be satisfied any way that it happens as far as offensive style, defensive style. Nebraska fans are always Nebraska fans are typically going to identify more easily, I think, with a power brand of football. And I agree, the Big Ten is different than the Big 12, and that I think you need to have that element to your offense in order to win. And you do to a certain degree in the Big 12, too. Count the number of conference championships that Texas Tech has won, and the Red Raiders have thrown for more yards than any team in the league over the last decade, I'm sure. The number of quarterbacks who've come through there and put up crazy numbers is quite a few, but they haven't been able to run the ball. Oklahoma, for all that it's done through the air in huge numbers for its quarterbacks, has had a good history of running backs too. Maybe not the same history as Billy Sims and that era, the triple option under Barry Switzer, but plenty of good backs from Adrian Peterson all the way up to Samaje Perine and Quentin Griffin in between. So they've held on to that power element of football, and it's been huge in collecting the hardware that OU did over the last decade and a half.
So staying in Oklahoma, down the road, Oklahoma State, Mike Gundy, he got a 5-year extension today. Do you think it was mostly the mullet that helped get him that extension? Because his overall record against Oklahoma, the team you got to get by usually, he's only got 2 wins against them in his entire career.
It's all the mullet. Yeah, it's
needs
entirely
more
about the mullet. The mullet is incentive. I'm looking forward to seeing the language of the contract so I can find the incentives about the mullet and, you know, if the mullet gets longer, what kind of bonuses he's allowed. Gundy, it's interesting timing on him actually signing the contract in less than a week after Bob Stoops retires. I don't know if there's any kind of poetic justice there or if it's a statement to make, you know, hey, that the landscape is open for the taking. You know, they're trying to get a recruiting edge as we get into a key time in the summer when kids visit campus and they're out and about at camps. Maybe that has something to do with it. But this contract has been done for months. You know, it's been sitting on Mike Gundy's desk for a long time. I mean, we've heard stories about, I believe even as far as a year ago, this thing was ironed out and it was just waiting for Gundy's signature. So I don't know what that was necessarily all about. There are different theories on, you know, why he waited
you know, he's had a hot and cold relationship with Boone Pickens through the years. That may have had something to do with it, but good for Oklahoma State that they finally got this thing nailed down. Again, it had been negotiated long ago, but Mike Gundy has ascended to a level now within the Big 12 that is, you know, he can be the face of this conference. You think only of Texas and Oklahoma when you start to talk in that way, but two new coaches, young guys who haven't coached at the Power Five level. You know, Herman has 2 years of head coaching experience. Riley has none. You know, there's an opening there for somebody like Mike Gundy to step to the forefront of things and, you know, elevate his program to a level that is even higher than what Oklahoma State has attained. And Oklahoma State, for, you know, what you say about not beating Oklahoma, and that's true, the Cowboys have had some pretty good success under Mike Gundy, especially in recent years. And I think we'll probably go into 2017 as the favorite to win the Big 12. I would say that Stoops' retirement last week pretty much cemented that Oklahoma State will be favored to win the league. Mm.
Let's switch gears to the CWS, Mitch. Couple, 3 minutes here. Sticking with favorites, is Oregon State your favorite? Is TCU? They've been to Omaha. It's like they've moved to Nebraska. That's how often they've been making their trip to Omaha. You have A&M and a little bit of a Nebraska reunion on that staff, obviously. Who do you like in Omaha as we get closer to this weekend?
Yeah, I like LSU, honestly. Oregon State is interesting. You'll see what happens with the pitcher who has had issues and has been in the news, Luke Heimlich, the ace starter. You know, that's definitely a question, although Oregon State didn't seem to miss him against Vanderbilt in Super Regionals last weekend. The record for Oregon State is incredible at 54-4, and you have to pay attention to that. 21 straight wins, although LSU comes in with 16 straight wins and has probably done it against better competition down the stretch in the SEC than what Oregon State saw in a good league, but not the same out west. So, and I have a feeling that Oregon State is going to have its hands full against Cal State Fullerton in that opening game Saturday. That's a pretty cool way to kick off the series, and then have LSU, Florida State in the night game. A signature Saturday at TD Ameritrade Park in the opening day of action. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing Mike Martin in his 16th trip to the College World Series, 73 years old, the Florida State coach. I think some people in college baseball circles thought he may not make it back. He has. But my pick to win the thing, I think, is going to be Paul Mainieri and LSU.
Mitch Sherman with us, HaleVarsity.com and magazine, at HaleVarsity on Twitter. And can read Mitch, ESPN.com and magazine. Mitch, about 40 seconds. What's coming up from you, bud?
I'm diving into baseball. So I got my story out yesterday about the top pairs in college football. And that was fun to work on. And now it's just headlong into 2 weeks of college baseball. So, like I said, some of the funnest time of the year and very busy, too. I will be spending my mornings and afternoons and evenings in downtown Omaha starting on Friday.
Well, we can't wait to read what you're doing, and I always appreciate you giving us a few minutes here, Mitch. Enjoy CWS. We might bump into you up there, bud.
If not, I'll talk to you from the press box next Tuesday.
That'd be wonderful. Thanks so much, Mitch. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
There he is, Mitch Sherman with us, ESPN.com. We'll take Caller 4 and Caller 5, now a six-month online subscription, HaleVarsity.com. Friday Night Lights coming up. Get all the recruiting info you need, the ultimate online fan experience, message board community, recruiting analysis, Caller 4, Caller 5. Right now, HaleVarsity.com, 466-3776, 800-825-5865, Caller 4, Caller 5, right now.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Congrats to callers 4 and 5 for the HaleVarsity.com online subscription. 6 months. If you didn't get in, or win. 30-day free trial offer when you sign up and subscribe. HailVarsity.com/subscribe. Good recruiting week coming up, obviously, with Friday Night Lights. Excited about that. I want to remind you about buckling that safety belt. 7 out of 10. Too many. That's the portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed in Nebraska roads last year. They've been using their safety belts at a minimum 69 alive today. Law enforcement on the lookout all across the state for seatbelt violations as part of National Click It or Ticket campaign. 6,000 additional Nebraska traffic enforcement operations will be writing tickets for safety belt and child restraint violations. Please click it or ticket. This message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Want to tap the line, Chillingbridge Cork and Tap House. Join us. Don't forget, before we're done this hour and before we're done next hour, the Smokin' Hot Dad promotion. Your chance at the Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker for Father's Day. Can win it and be a happy dad. On Friday, we'll do the drawing. Okay. Mailbag from HailVarsity.com. I've become part of this. I'm thankful that I've been asked to write some responses to just awesome readers and online users about Hail Varsity. So the question there kind of comes down to, and it came from @corn_Huskers via Twitter, whether Huskers, whether they run it or pass more, is it okay that I just want the team to be successful? I mean, I love hot dogs and don't care how they're made. Well, my friend, I love hot dogs. They're really good. I'm a brat guy, too. And if they're made with special sauce, special pork, beef, whatever, I'm throwing them on the grill or my father's grill or your grill, because I don't have a grill. I'm going to whine about that till I move out of that freaking apartment. Anywho, hot dogs. Do you care how Nebraska wins football games? I don't care. I didn't care growing up how they won. I kind of know how they kind of have to win or how they have to play to win, but I'm not stuck in the mud on a certain style. And what works for success is kind of open, depending on coach and identity, execution, player personnel, recruiting, depth, schedule. There's so much that goes into it. So I'll say this. In the Big Ten, you will not win a division. You will not win the conference without being extremely physical and also having the ability to get after the quarterback. That's not negotiable. There's no straying away from it. You got to get after the quarterback on defense. Look at Ohio State's draft picks when it came to their defensive line the last few years. Look at Penn State a year ago. They had a good pass rush. Wisconsin's been psycho when it comes to their defensive front and ability to get after the quarterback. And how's Wisconsin and Ohio State and Michigan State and Penn State won? They got big dudes that are angry, firing off the ball, and the run game's been incredible. They've had some sweet backs. That also helps. But if Nebraska wins throwing the ball 35 to 55 times a game in shootout fashion, you'll take it and run with it and not care. I agree with that. It's one thing to accept it. It's another thing to see it actually happen. And you'll need a physical presence to go with that throwing the football around.
For me, growing up, the option, it worked, and it led you to national championships. Mm-hmm. So I'm always going to feel nostalgic to that. And then in today's college football, I'm a big fan of points, so I love the air raid. I love the spread offenses. So
you'll agree that it in warmer climates, it's okay because your weather's better?
Yeah, for sure.
To throw it around,
yeah.
70 times?
So I'd always prefer those two ways, but look, the correct answer is here, just win however you can because you haven't won in a long time. And that's winning is relative to national championships
sure,
and conference
sure.
championships.
Just win the conference, yeah. Win your division, And how are you going to do it? You're going to do it through a balanced physical attack. And you can be physical throwing the football. Mike Leach's teams are very physical throwing the football. His linemen aren't nice. Miami's teams in the 90s and in the 2000s, Mount McKinney wasn't a nice offensive tackle. He smoked you. Okay? No pun intended. They were a throwing team with incredible talent at I-back. Frank Gore, Edgerrin James. Go down the list. Mm-hmm. McGahee. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
The other guy that played for Washington for 100 years.
I know. I was just trying to think of his name, too, and I'm blanking on it, too.
Denver to Washington. And what is it?
It'll come to us soon.
Oh, Clinton.
No, Davis. Portis. There you go.
Peach Clinton. Yeah, that's how I remember. He wore a T-shirt at the time. So as much as they threw it, okay, they handed it off because they could. And that's your common denominator is, are you able to run it when you need to? You can throw it, and you can be a pass first. You can be Leinart and SC. But guess what? They were in a handoff to Lendale White or Reggie Bush to win it. They did. And the reality is this. The conference you play in, the places you're traveling, or the teams you're hosting are not going to sneeze or scoff at cold weather. They'll find a way to get it done. Harbaugh's a pro style, and he's going to run it. You got a power zone read offense in Urban Meyer. Michigan State, football that runs as the day is long, when they've been really, really good and they've been kind of your mark of excellence in the Big Ten up until last year. And Penn State's a little more spread, but they've got an incredible first-round talent at IBAC that pushed them. They were balanced. Mm-hmm. And I like McSorley. He's a mobile quarterback. So just don't do yourself any – or don't give yourself any disadvantages by, okay, if we can't run it, let's pretend we're Green Bay. I mean, that you can do that if you get a quarterback that's accurate and a great decision maker, and that's a way to differentiate yourself too, is go get that quarterback or groom that quarterback. That's not out of the realm of possibility for Nebraska football either. To be that different at being able to recruit and groom quarterbacks. Then you can run game is optional if you can just throw it around to supplement your run game. I haven't seen it work yet in college football, ever. And it won't. So does it matter how Nebraska wins? No. But just because it doesn't matter to you, as long as the W's happen, there is a way to do it. There is a way to win in college football, and that's being extremely physical. We'll wind out hour one on Hail Varsity.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Your shot at that smoking hot dad qualification this hour, next hour. Mike Babcock is 10 minutes away. He will smile about his Warriors. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you. Wilderness Ridge Golf segment tomorrow. WildernessRidgeGolf.com, 402-434-5106. Kick off your summer. Here are some of the golf specials going on at Wilderness Ridge. Father's Day is just around the corner. Give dear old dad the ultimate gift with a round of golf on the championship course. Then come on back during the month in June to experience the Talon course at a discounted rate. That's all good. Father's Day weekend, Saturday the 17th and Sunday the 18th. After one, $29 a person. That includes tax and cart and a small bucket of balls. So take dad golfing. Don't take dad's money while you're golfing, but take dad golfing. Also, the Talon course June special, the 13th through the 30th, $11 a person. plus tax. That does not include cart rental. Some of us don't walk. I ride, but still $11, whatever the cart fee is. That sounds like a blast at Wilderness Ridge. Can log on wildernessridgegolf.com. Membership benefits and pricing for you. TJ, you looked at me longingly about when we were talking power football. And that's the idea that's hard to get away from, is you don't know winning championships or contending championships any other way but with power football in the run game. It can be done. You've seen other teams do it. You just haven't seen it here. I think that's the hesitation. You got to see it to believe it from Nebraska fans. Mm-hmm. Now, again, the caveat being, can you get just freaking stud quarterbacks in here to make the throws, to be good, to be great,
yeah,
to be good decision makers, to be steady, and then build around it? You don't always put it on the quarterback. Get a running game in here that allows your guy to manage and then make some plays here and there.
And I think it also deal with that the West Coast offense didn't kind of work out with the Bill Callahan era here.
I disagree. I think it worked out some.
Well, I mean, it worked out Zach Taylor, and that was about it.
Right, but you also had, I mean, you had Brandon Jackson running the football. You had Corey Ross catching and running the football. You had, I mean, Marlon was pretty good. And you had some good linemen. I mean, Nix was an NFL guy. You had Slaw Daddy, and I'm forgetting the other kid out of Minnesota that ended up getting drafted. Someday that'll come back to me, but it's kind of where I'm at with it. Let's get you qualified now.
Hey, can one of you other men come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Yeah, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smoking! All right, get in. Caller 9 qualifies. Giveaway Friday. Be nice to TJ. Smoking Hot Dad promotion. The Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker. The goodies from Leon's. $250 gift card plus the gift basket that includes spices, rubs, wood chips, wood planks, and a steak certificate. Caller 9, 800-825-5865, 466-3776. Caller 9 qualifies for the smoker right now.
Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We
get
big
beat!
We get big beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Boom, beat, beat!
Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, it's Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, HaleVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We love catching up with Mike Babcock, historian, author, Hall of Famer, 39 years and counting of Nebraska coverage. Mike, are you wearing a Golden State t-shirt?
Hey, I really, I think Brandon Vogel tweeted last night afterward. I really liked the hats that they had. I thought those were pretty cool. But I already had a Golden State hat. So, yeah, it's all good.
You're smiling, man. I know you are. And what a series win for Golden State. Cleveland, though, man, was pretty worthy opponent. I mean, they didn't go quietly. You didn't expect them to go quietly. And you've been a Golden State fan most of your life. So before we get into football and Husker talk, what's most gratifying for you about the Golden State win?
Well, I think that a couple things struck me about it. And I would say this before anything. I thought Cleveland showed a lot of class when the game was over. Tyronn Lue, obviously, I'm a big fan of his. But probably for me, the thing that I enjoyed most was Durant getting his title, because I know he's taken some criticism for leaving Oklahoma City, and without getting into a lot of the discussion there. I really think that a year ago, Oklahoma City could have been in the finals instead of Golden State. Had some things with Draymond Green played out a little bit differently there in the Steven Adams situation. But so I was glad for Durant. But yeah, you're exactly right. I thought the Cavs for being eliminated 4-1, I don't think that showed how hard the Cavs played. And if you think about that first game in Cleveland, had it gone the other way, this series could have gone down to seven games. So that's the, you know, I guess I take away from it relief as a Golden State fan that it didn't go beyond what it did, because I was really impressed with how hard Cleveland fought, even though it was down 3-0 there at one point. So those things impressed me. And, you know, I think I've said before, I appreciate a situation where you have the two best teams in the league playing in a championship game, championship series. And when you have that, and it's clear cut that that's what you've got, I can really accept the outcome regardless of which team wins. But again, having been a Golden State fan, not since the first one Golden State won, I think, which was in 1947. I haven't, you know, I don't go back that far.
wasn't implying that, my man.
I sort of remember the one in the mid-50s, you know, some of the guys that were on that team, Tom Golan, Paul Arizin. But yeah, it's pretty cool that that Golden State got a fifth NBA title.
Well, I might slightly imply here for this question, the debate between MJ and LeBron. You've seen it all. Who do you think is the best of all time, or is there somebody else, maybe like Kareem, who you would choose instead?
You know, TJ, that's a tough one for me, because a little bit different era. Things are, mm-hmm. You know, the dynamic is different. If I said LeBron, I feel like I would be shortchanging Jordan. And if I said Jordan, I think I'd be shortchanging LeBron. I mean, I really think it's a coin flip, and probably more people a little older would say Jordan, and probably people a little younger would say LeBron, you know, because of their perspective. And that kind of puts me in the middle of that discussion. So I'm avoiding your question, really.
It's fine.
I'm not picking either of those guys over the other, because they're a little bit different types of players, and they played in a little bit different kind of a situation. But both guys could certainly play the game, and I think LeBron has been remarkable. When you think about the attention he's drawn since he was in high school, mm-hmm. and how he's handled that, I think is very impressive.
Few minutes with Mike Babcock, KLVarsity.com and magazine. Babbers, Golden State's in the midst of kind of their title years, 2 and 3 years, and guys under the age of 30. Sounds like KD will take less money. This nucleus will stay intact. Their bench is good. I don't know what they'll do with that. People are having to adjust to them. I want to bring this to Nebraska football for a second and go back to the Orange Bowl against Florida State. Did you have a feeling Nebraska, I'm not asking you to say, well, yeah, I said 60-3 was going to happen, but did you have a feeling that Nebraska was kind of poised for, you know, kind of a greatness-type run after that bowl game? Did you have a feeling, knowing football in Nebraska like you do, that, listen, there was a real shot here to do something special, kind of similar to when Gil got to campus?
Well, you know, it was the unfinished business mentality, and you certainly thought, you know, that had that field goal gone through the goalpost, Nebraska would have gotten that championship, and so you thought it was a special team, but you know, here's the thing. I'm pointing out the obvious, as I always do. It's it's not easy to win a national championship. And at that time, you didn't have a playoff system, but it was a little bit different from the standpoint of being in the Big Eight was different than being in the Big 12, is different than being in the Big Ten. So, you know, there were all those factors to consider as well. But you had to play yourself into a position where people who had votes in the polls determined whether you were going to be playing for a national championship or not. That was one thing. You couldn't really control that. And I thought that was one of the things that through much of Osborne's career, at least until the mid-80s, so that's not most of it, but he always talked about control what you can control, which was to win the Big Eight. You can't control a national championship, so don't look at that as your focus. I felt like the recruiting class in 85 that included Steve Taylor and Broderick Thomas and Leroy Etienne, I thought that class, you know, those guys weren't afraid to talk about a national championship. And I think that in order to get there, you had to talk about it to some extent. So you put all those factors together and then, again, add to it the fact that you still had to have the voters, had to make the decision that you were going to be in a position where you could play for a national championship. And yet you had the Big Ten schools and the Pacific, the Pac-10 then?
Mm-hmm.
They had the connection with the Rose Bowl, so those teams were not going to be matched against somebody else in one of the other bowl games. There were just a lot of factors that you couldn't control. But, you know, from the standpoint of did I think that Nebraska had the ability to do it? Yeah, I think that Nebraska did because of the talent that was there. And, as I've often said, the thing that is to me is remarkable is that in 94, the five interior offensive linemen who started in 94, only one of those guys started in that line in 95, and that was Aaron Graham. So, it starts up front, offensive line, but who could have imagined the kind of run that Osborne had at the end of his career, because of how difficult it is to win those championships. It's probably more difficult now because of the playoff system and what you have to go through. First of all, to get to the playoff, and then second of all, you've got a couple of games that you got to win in order to be champion.
Mike Babcock with us, Hail Varsity Radio, now on HailVarsity.com, which I encourage everybody to go visit. I saw that you on the message boards when the Cameron Brown decommitment happened that you thought maybe possibly it could be tied to the Keyshawn Johnson situation with marijuana. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, Cameron Brown in the tweet said that he had talked to his folks, people around me that I work with said, well, that's a stretch. You know, that's totally a stretch. But I thought about the situation where you had Stanley Morgan Jr. had his off-the-field deal, and then you had Keyshawn Johnson Jr. had his off-the-field deal. And a year ago you had Keith Williams, went through what he did. And I'm not passing judgment on anybody, but I'm looking at it from the standpoint of when other schools try to recruit kids, you bring up stuff, right? I mean, you say, well, you're going to go to a school like this. And I don't think that I was disappointed in that stuff. And you can look at it and say, it's college kids. That's what they do. And I agree with that, but as a student athlete at the University of Nebraska or anywhere, you have to be held to a higher standard. So if a kid like Cameron Brown is looking for a reason maybe in his mind to change his mind and he's talked to his parents about it, it could come up that way. I'm probably way off base on that, and it probably is a stretch. Jacob Dilla, you know, told me that he thought that was a stretch. But in recruiting, you just don't know. You know, what are other schools telling him, and what do his parents say, and you know, if I'd have been a good enough athlete to be in a situation like this, I know how my parents would have reacted to any of that stuff. Probably they would have said, before this ever happened, they would have said, well, you know, maybe we want you to reconsider what you're doing. So that's the only reason that I would look at it from that standpoint. And again, I may be stretching the thing, but I know that recruiting can be a, you know, it can be a nasty business. And when you have any kind of a blemish, other schools are going to bring that up.
Well, it's not real cozy between the position coach at Ohio State and the position coach at Nebraska.
No, exactly.
And the position coach at wide receiver, Ohio State will sell what they've done on the field. But if you're flipping a kid or he's at your camp, I wouldn't put it past Ohio State to bring up the blotter. Absolutely not.
No, I think that's commonplace. I think that's what you do. You look for an edge in any way, shape, or form that you can get it. And that's, you know, I thought it was interesting because I think Cameron, he tweeted that, it wasn't because of Ohio State, kind of an open-ended deal, but it's like, okay, well, that's what people think, and, you know, I don't know. There, obviously, it's more complicated than just my saying, well, you know, a couple of Husker players got in some issues off the field and that sort of thing. I don't think that's the only reason, but it could have factored in, especially when you bring into consideration what parents look at for their kids and you know what they're going to do.
Hang on for a second, Babbers. We're up against it. More with Mike Babcock on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Good stuff from Babbers. Thoughts there on recruiting. Spend a few more minutes with him on some Nebraska football. We'll get into style. We ended the first hour with it. Doesn't matter to you as a Nebraska fan how they win. It was a pretty awesome mailbag question on HailVarsity.com. Should we get the hookup going, Teach? Smoker time.
Hey, can one of your other men come over here and comment on the meat while I'm cooking it?
Yeah, I got it.
Man alive, there's nothing better than a hamburger grilled to perfection.
Hey, don't flip them too often now. You don't want to lose your juices.
Caller 9 now at 402-466-ESPN is instantly qualified to win a brand new smoker this Friday from ESPN 1480.
Smoking!
More with Mike Babcock. Babbers is on hold. You can dial up 466-377-6800-825-5865. Dad's Day around the corner. Hook Dad up. If you are a dad, don't chance it. Like, you'll get something you like. The Smoking Hot Dad promotion ends Friday. You qualify here at Hail Varsity twice a show. Also with Gregeth and Smith on ESPN 1480, the Southern County Stainless Steel Electric Smoker could be yours. You just got to qualify, which means be caller 9, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free 800-825-5865. Caller 9, be nice to TJ. He will qualify you. More chances tomorrow on Hail Varsity to qualify. More chances on Gregeth and Smith to qualify. But be number 9 right now to qualify and maybe get that name drawn for you on Friday. More with Mike Babcock next on Hail Varsity.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. More with Mike Babcock at MBBabs on Twitter. Babbers, let's talk mailbag. It's out on HailVarsity.com. And we have different labels for Nebraska fans. Run the ball guy, pass the ball guy, shut him out guy, and now win the game guy. We had win the game guy ask the question. And we all took a shot at answering, does it matter how Nebraska wins? And the guy likes hot dogs. He just wants a great hot dog in the mailbag question. He doesn't care how it's made. I totally get that because I love great hot dogs too. All that said, I think your past success indicates power football is a gold mine way to win. It's won for decades at Nebraska and at other places. And you can also chuck it around, and USC and Pete Carroll being the glaring example, or the 90s and 80s teams of Miami. They did really, really tremendous work throwing the football, too. They had amazing players. Babbers, do you think it matters? And we talked about this a little earlier. Do you think it matters as much to Nebraska fans anymore about how Nebraska wins football games?
I don't. I think because you're not winning a Big Ten championship yet, you haven't done that. So I think you have people who look at it and say, well, you know, back in the day, this is what Nebraska did, and that's how it won. I think that's why that sort of thing comes up. Mm-hmm. But you know, the bottom line is just win. And if you're gonna if throwing the ball all over the place is going to put you in a win you a Big Ten championship, I think people are going to be fine with that. I just think that the distinction that's made is people falling back on another time and place. Like, this is how Nebraska did it before, so it should work now. And you know, I thought you recently had Gary Barnett on. And he was talking about, you know, running the option as Nebraska did it back in the day. And he said, you know, that probably wasn't going to work now. And he explained why. And so I think, again, people probably understand that. But, you know, their heart says, well, this is the way it was done. And so this is what it needs to be in order to do it now. But no, I think that people will be fine with however you play it, as long as, you know, if you win a Big Ten championship. Now Nebraska's going back to a 3-4. You know, going to a 4-3 was one of the reasons that Nebraska got those championships at the end of Osborne's tenure. That was a big change. Now the Nebraska's going back to a 3-4 because the game has changed. So, no. I think all those people come together if Nebraska wins a conference championship and gets back into national relevance. I don't think people care how that gets done.
Mike Babcock with us, Hail Varsity Magazine and .com. I'm at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, the yearbook is coming out shortly. Do we have a launch date? We know who's on the cover. Excited about it. I know you're proud of your work and the rest of the work in the magazine.
Yeah, my sense is, my recollection is, I think it's supposed to ship June 20th. I'm not sure about that, but I think that's roughly the time frame that we've got for it to ship. And yeah, it's very cool. You know, you've probably seen online the cover. The cover is a good reflection of what you find in the magazine. It is very cool, very well done.
Well, Mike, you have a feature and a story in there, not to give it away, but can you tease it a bit as to what folks will find from you? I'm excited about it.
Yeah, well, in 1964, there were 8 black players on the team. They referred to themselves as the Magnificent Eight, and I think it was an unintentional play on the movie The Magnificent Seven, which came out 1962 or 60, somewhere there. And so I talked to three of those guys, live in Omaha, and they get together on occasion to sort of reminisce and so forth. They've maintained contact over the years. Willie Pashaw, Preston Love Jr., and Jim Brown. So that's kind of the basis of the story. What was the racial attitude at the time that they played under Devaney? It's very they're all three are very articulate about what it was like for a black athlete at Nebraska in the mid 60s.
Mike Babcock is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, at MD Babs on Twitter. Mike, I can't wait to read the story, the feature, and excellent work as always with the yearbook and with the magazine and website. We'll catch up soon. Thanks for giving us a few minutes today.
Hey, great talking to you guys, as always. Keep up the good work.
Always love talking with Mike Babcock, HailVarsity.com and magazine, and more mailbag thoughts. And this was good. And the Hail Varsity mailbag questions come in, and we love thoughts from you on Monday nights. And we publish and go through the bag on Tuesday, HailVarsity.com. We kind of went over the last 30 to 40 minutes of the show when it comes to style of play. This was a good question from SG in on Facebook. From a recruiting standpoint, Riley's classes the last 2 years, the question here is, when does the talent take over in a weak division? It seems like we're still trying to adapt to a new conference, which should not be the case by now. This is a mailbag question in to HailVarsity.com. First and foremost here, do you think Nebraska is still trying to adapt to the West? I don't think so. I think the early years, year one and two, you had Big 12 parts for a Big 10 body. But now, you know what you want to recruit, you know how you need to defend, and you know you need to be thick and also have some hybrid guys, because you're going to see all types in the Big Ten, offensively. You're going to see spread and a power spread with Ohio State. You're going to see pro style with slot guys that could mess with you, and tight ends at Michigan State and Michigan. You're going to see God knows what at Ohio State with Wilson in Indiana. His style of offense, power run with kind of an aerial assault. You're going to have more of a pass-happy flavor with Purdue. In Brom, Illinois, doesn't matter. You got a balanced, really good attack with a little bit of quarterback run game with Northwestern. You're going to see power and power and more power with Wisconsin. And you're going to see some just exotic stuff defensively with Wisconsin. So you got to be ready for it all. And Diaco's time at Notre Dame is, and the schedule they played forced him to be ready for it all. So first answer to this is, I don't think the division's weak. It's not the SEC West, but Wisconsin's a 10-win team, 11-win team. Northwestern's been a 7 to 10-win team. Minnesota's been really good in physical. What do they do with PJ Fleck? No clue. Sorry. Can't answer that. Do they stay committed to being tougher and stronger than you? And if they do that and they get some more skill guys, to round things out. So there you go. I think Nebraska will see a lot of guys on the field. Let's go down the list here. Reardon, Wilson, Farniok. I think you have a good shot at Farniok seeing time at right tackle if things don't get shored up there.
Yeah, I like those three guys you mentioned.
That's where they need to win. Mm-hmm. That's where it turns into a winning division versus a question mark about weak division. It's no longer a weak division if you're beating them, theoretically. From a receiver standpoint, Tyjon Lindsey, McQuitty, and Spielman are the guys from the past couple of classes. Yep. I think Matt Snyder could be really nice at tight end. And defensively, Lamar Jackson, Avery Roberts, Mo Berry. I think Colin Miller could be a guy. Then Guy Thomas. That's early and maybe premature, but that's covering quite a few guys on both sides of the ball that I think you'll see, will see time, and it'll have to be good.
Yeah, you really need those offensive linemen that were redshirting, like Raritan, Wilson, Farniok, you mentioned the mailbag, to really step up and produce, and I think those guys will. I'm big on J.D. Spielman. I think he'll bring a nice element to the wide receiver core. Tyjon Lindsey, I think, is talented enough to be out there right away, as well as Avery Roberts, so, and Javavion McQuitty. So a lot of talent there in the wide receiver core.
Well, I think wideouts will be nice, and I think you'll see an ability by these wide receivers to do something special with yards after the catch. I think you'll have a setup and system, if protection is right, to see some just real quick twitch athletes with Lindsey. I think he'll come in and see catches, not just in the return game, obviously, but I think he'll be a player at wide receiver. I think Spielman will be real nice. It's goes without saying with what type of dynamic player he is. And then I think Stan and DeMornay, I mean, they're drooling right now. They are excited about what they've seen and worked with at quarterback. And it all depends on how much time Tanner's got. But, man, it could be nice. It could be real special.
And kind of a loaded position. But I remember we had him on when he committed to us, and I was very impressed by him, was Tony Butler. Now, there's a lot of competition in that secondary, but
they call him Grandpa.
And I can understand. He's wise like a grandpa.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's safety. Listen, I love what they've got because I think Aaron Williams is a guy that is going to be impressive, and he played a lot last year and had some trial by fire, and I'm talking the Ohio State game, but I think he's really good. And then you got Kalu back there that is nice and physical and kind of multiple. There's some young kids like, you know, Markel Dismuke, who is kind of your original Calabasas crew dude, that, I mean, he's big. He's big and fluid. Butler's nice, and don't forget about Kai. Okay? I mean, all he did was lead the team in picks last year.
Yeah, that's all.
That's it. I like him. I like him a lot. I like how he set the edge. And Chris Jones is tremendous. Love him. We'll see if Lamar can come around. And you're not even mentioning some of the other corners. Lee, hello? Lee could be nice. Your chance at Salt Dog tickets next hour, or next segment. What hour?
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Winding through a Tuesday, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Sauter Heyman, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. Pure-grown diamonds, 100% real, except they're grown in a lab. Instead of mined from the earth, all the characteristics of earth-mined diamonds, and many of the customers at Sauter think they're more beautiful, eco-friendly as well, sustainable, and 10 to 40% less than traditional Earth Mine Diamonds. See why the pure-grown diamonds are some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. Find out today with Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion, both in Lincoln or out west with your friends in Grand Island, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds, Sauter Heyman. SauterHeyman.com, your best ring. Well, some final thoughts on the championship win last night for Golden State. And I will agree with Klay Thompson, who had his kind of a shining moment, I think, in Game 3, where he had a 30-point performance, kind of set the tone. And you always had one of the Golden State stars on. And then in most of this series, too, you had 2 to 3 perform well each game. They didn't always go 4 for 4, but Cleveland's big three only went 3 for 3 in the win, to be honest. But otherwise, you had a game where Kyrie struggled, or you had a game where a couple games where Love struggled. LeBron was about it consistency wise but Clay acknowledging what at times didn't look like was the case, and it was hard to win and put Cleveland down finally.
Although people did expect us to win, people don't realize how hard it is to go out there and do it. I mean, you know, if you look at our record and they say, oh, 16-1, it was easy, but it wasn't. I mean, this series could have really changed in Game 3 especially, but we had big-time players make big-time plays like Kevin.
So I got to ask you this. Did it feel 4-1, or did it feel like this thing could have been 4-2 or 7? I mean, there was just no answer Cleveland had. I mean, they had to be perfect. We mentioned margin for error. And when Cleveland was on and they blew out or beat Golden State decisively, it was one of those all-time nights where everything was going right between 25 threes and your big three shooting 55 to 60% and hitting from anywhere on the floor and winning the glass and da-da-da. That, I mean, just go down the list of playing that perfect game.
Yeah, it did always feel like that.
It always felt like Golden State could be careless for part of one of the quarters, but Cleveland could not. Mm-hmm. And even as good as Cleveland got off to a start last night and win the first quarter, the second quarter explosion,
21-2 run.
That run was the knockout punch. And you're always, I don't know about you, but I was always waiting on that levee to break.
Oh yeah, for sure. And that 21-2 run, that was the backbreaker. They were playing well. I mean, even though they were having turnovers, Golden State was having a lot of turnovers too in that first half.
Cleveland had possession towards the end of the second quarter, where it was four or five straight possessions where they turned it over or took a bad shot or just didn't get anything.
Yeah, I mean, it was close to going to six games, seven games, but like you said, they had to have a record-setting performance, 24 threes in game three just to beat them. And look, this Golden State, it's simple math. Kevin Durant is better than Harrison Barnes.
Well, let's talk KD, because he had a unique mindset. He took a gamble, could have stayed safe in Oklahoma City. Instead, there's controversy, followed his heart with it, and KD last night talked about his mindset going to this new experience.
I came in and tried to help my team, like I said, try to be myself, be aggressive, you know, sacrifice as well. Some games I might not get shots, as many shots as I'm used to getting. There's some games where Steph is going to go off and hit 13 threes, or Clay might hit 60, or Draymond might get a triple-double with no points, but nobody cared, you know, as long as we won.
Let's just share the love.
Yeah,
the wealth.
That's what's great about this team, man. They just all put their egos aside and they play beautiful basketball. Even with all those talented guys who want the ball, they just share it. And yeah, you can get Draymond Green can get a triple double without going double digit in points. Like, I mean, that's a great way to put it, what you just said right there. This team just finds a way to get it done and they play beautiful basketball.
Well, there's also this in the back of KD's craw. The carrot he'd been chasing is LeBron, and he had remembered the other time he got to the finals, they got put down. Was that 4-2 or 4-1 when Miami beat OKC?
4-1.
4-1.
OKC won the first game, then Miami won the next four.
He remembered. He remembered, and he never let it out of that back of his mind compartment, and he wanted this.
It feels great to win, but to go against somebody I view as like a rival personally is an amazing feeling to beat him. But one thing I know about LeBron James, though, he'd probably be back in the gym start of July, getting ready for next season.
More from KD. There's plenty of respect, and you saw that at the end of the game.
I respected him, and he won his first one in 2012, and he you know, reciprocated that. So I got nothing but love and respect for him, and I can't wait to compete against him again next season.
All right, LeBron last night, and he was such a warrior, no pun intended, last evening. He was great all series. I mean, he opened eyes. If you're not a LeBron guy, you can't not be respectful. And he's kind of said what we're thinking. I mean, Golden State, they're not renting. They now own this place in the finals, and they'll be here a while. Cut five.
They're going to be here for a while. They're going to be around for a while. Pretty much all their guys are in their 20s. You know, pretty much all their big-name guys are in their 20s, and they don't show any signs of slowing down. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams that's trying to figure out ways to put personnel together to try and match that if they're able to actually face them in a playoff series, both Eastern Conference and Western Conference.
Yeah, good luck building that roster, either in the West, and Cleveland will look at it in the East, but contract situation isn't good. LeBron is right on. No apologies necessary.
I left everything on the floor every game, all five games. So for me personally, I have nothing to be – I have no reason to put my head down. I have no reason to look back at what I could have done or what I shouldn't have done or what I could have done better for the team. I left everything I had out on the floor every single game for five games in this finals. And, you know, you come up short.
They did. He was asked if it was a fair fight. Were they overmatched? He says no. He's taken up for his guys.
Not one time did I feel like we were overmatched until probably like I looked up there, it was like a minute 20. and we were down 13, I believe, or something at that point, and I was like, okay. We left everything on the floor, and it still wasn't enough. They assembled a great team. You know, we was able to get them last year, and they went out and got, you know, one of the best players that this league has ever seen.
That's just it. That's the visual example of conceding defeat or conceding victory and acknowledging the defeat to a better team. Gave it your best, and it just not even close to good enough. Caller 5, a VIP 4-pack of Salt Dogs tickets for Saturday?
Friday.
Friday baseball with the Dogs. A VIP 4-pack right now with Hail Varsity and ESPN. Caller 5, 466-3776. 466-3776. Caller 5, 4-pack VIP tickets. Friday night baseball with the Salt Dogs. We'll wind down a Tuesday next. Caller 5 now.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
We had very little talent, actually. It was mostly coaching.
Line of the night. Steve Kerr. Can we hear it again?
Oh, you bet.
We had very little talent, actually. It was mostly coaching.
Just Steve started popping champagne room.
Oh, man.
And grabbed the mic from Doris and said, hey!
I just love how he doesn't take himself so seriously, and he knows he has a great job. Can you imagine if he would have took that Knicks job over the Golden State job? Holy cow. Talk about a whole different world.
Think about who you're dealing with and talking to and getting respect from and earning respect from versus a snowball's chance of that happening with that Knicks roster.
Oh, and it's like...
because of attitude problems.
Yeah, and it's because, you know, he used to work for Phil Jackson, but it's like, who wants to work with Phil Jackson right now? Nobody.
I think he'd work with Phil. I'm talking the Knicks roster. Some of the malcontents there.
I think it's more Phil right now and Dolan.
Well, Dolan's a nightmare. But the roster's the issue. I mean, Draymond can drive you
I'd love to have Chris Stapps.
No, I know.
He doesn't want to be there right now.
No, he's...
he didn't do that final interview with Phil.
He wants to move. I'll say this about Draymond. It's Kerr knows... the personality. It's beautiful. Because he can unload on Draymond, and Draymond will yell at the rest of the team.
Yeah.
It's sweet.
Oh, it's great.
You need that type of guy. A guy who can take it. And then get everybody else in line.
Yeah.
And I mean...
and their crazy guy is really good.
He's phenomenal. He's really good. He's a matchup issue, and he's got range. And then you have two guys that are super, super good, but they've never been thought of as good. So they've had to go out there and prove it every year. And even with MVPs and All-Stars and all NBA teams, they still are just remembering back to... and they were both drafted high, I know, between Clay and Curry.
Yeah, and can we stop acting like Curry is still a gimmick? Like, the guy put up 26-8-9. I mean, come on.
One of the differences...
he's fantastic.
One of the differences in the series was his ability to distribute and not force things when they trapped him. He just found the open guy. They worked it around the horn, and they found the tall, skinny guy.
Yeah, and everybody... you know, salutes Kyrie Irving for finishing at the rim, which he does well. But
except
Curry
in the fourth quarter last night, where he's 0-for-5.
But Curry, career-wise, regular season and playoffs, finishes better at the rim than Kyrie Irving. So if you think Kyrie finishes well, Steph's even better.
No, Steph's good. I mean, I like this team. I was kind of blackballed in my own living room because I wanted Cleveland to extend this.
I did too.
And the Mama Bears... what are you cheering for Cleveland for? Well, I want to see more basketball because now I have nothing. Got under 100 days till kickoff. Please hurry.
You've got your baseball team, whoever you watch, because it's not a national sport anymore.
No, and I don't watch baseball. I watch the Lincoln A's.
Yeah, there you go.
That's the baseball I watch.
Yeah, and I'm not a big CWS guy myself.
Now, I'll say this. There are a couple games over 500, so I'll give him credit there.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, I watch 10-year-old baseball.
Riveting, I bet.
No, we've leaned a lot on the insulated cups at baseball. We've needed it. Tomorrow at 4, find us. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. Talk to you then. Thanks for your time. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great night.